Welcome to another episode of Toad's Tunes. My name is Toad. Today we're sitting down with Renee Blair. She plays her first show in Vegas at Stoney's Rock and Country, almost having the best day of her life, and it includes Bruno Mars. We talked about Hardy, the single Wait in the Truck. We had some fun with NSYNC. We even talked Mount Rushmore, her move to Nashville from St. Louis. Let's get to it, man. Let's get to know Renee Blair.
Ooh, holy cow, boy. Show me around the town, boy. All these neon lights with country music playing.
Welcome to another episode of Toad's Tunes. Renee Blair, finally, in Vegas.
Woohoo!
Before we came up here, I opened my email and I double-checked. I was working on a show with you pre-COVID. I was.
That's amazing.
And that's what it's all about, man.
Yeah.
Because now you're here.
Woohoo!
Welcome to Stoney's Rockin' Country.
Thank you. I've been dying to play my first show in Vegas, and so far it's exceeded any expectations, but the show hasn't even happened yet.
It hasn't, but that's the best part of it because it's already good. You've never played in Vegas before?
I've never played in Vegas. I think maybe like I did a song or two the first time I came to ACMs in like 2016 or 17. Like there's like a Losers or something in
there
one of the lobbies.
MGM.
Okay. I feel like maybe I hopped up and did like a song acoustic, but I don't honestly remember.
They do a lot of Girls of Country stuff there. I went and saw Stephanie Quayle there doing hers. Megan Patrick was on that show.
Yep.
I'm trying to think. There's maybe May Estes. I honestly don't remember. But do you come to town for NFR and stuff like that? Have you been here for that?
I only came once for ACMs.
That's
like
it.
I don't know. And Vegas and I are becoming friends fast today. But no, otherwise, nothing. I feel like a newbie.
You are a newbie.
Yeah.
Are you scared of Vegas?
I'm not a big gambler because I know that if I gambled, I would be a big gambler. So I'm afraid to dip my toes.
I like to say this, and this is fair. Those places aren't beautiful because you win. That's what you have to think about.
Okay.
Those places are not, like, they're not.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can't be. Like, they can't just keep throwing money at something that's not winning.
Totally.
So they have to win.
Yeah.
The house always has to win.
Yeah. I mean, my husband loves to gamble, and we've never done Vegas together, and we've kind of talked about it, and I feel like after this, I only came for ACM, so it was basically...
You're working the whole time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So... After today, I'm like, I kind of want to book a trip here with
him. You should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come during the week into the weekend. So that way you can, if you want to go eat places, it's not too busy.
Yeah.
And then on the weekend, you can come to Stoney's and watch a show. See who's in town.
Great.
Because, you know, that's what most people do on a Friday night when they come to Vegas in their country.
It looks like if my friends aren't in Nashville, they are here, according to all the posters on the wall.
They have all been here. Yes. See, they're all doing what you're doing. When did you get in today?
Gosh, time changes. We left Nashville about 5:30 from my house, and then we landed here at like 9:45 Vegas time.
So did you fart around at all in town, or did you just go?
Well, today was almost the best day of my life. Do you want to know why?
Absolutely. Okay.
So
what if I would have said nah?
I know. Since we flew here today, usually, you know, we're in like a big van or, you know, not a bus yet, but one day. Anyways, I just looked to the left and there's a Cadillac 3 thing. I'm like, oh, more friends. Like, literally, this is insane. You have, like, had all of Nashville's finest.
We were waiting for you to get here. That's what happened.
Okay, so we usually travel via vehicle. That was a tongue twister. With all the gear. So my keys player, I really wanted to bring him tonight because I knew this venue was awesome. And we can do like a three-piece band setup, but he just adds so much to the show. He's fantastic. His name's Latavius. I'm obsessed with him. So I wanted him to come so bad. And his big, huge keyboard that we can travel with like in a vehicle is almost like $1,000 or something crazy because it's so oversized and heavy
to spend to get it. Right, okay.
So there is a local...
SIR,
instrumental rental place. So anyways, we go there today, and the guy that's the owner, like, seemed very flustered. He said it was kind of a chaotic day. Some staff didn't come in, and, like, there was a band that was rehearsing, and his office has a huge open, like, cutout in it that looks into, and it's, like, literally a window without glass, so it's clear. Like, you could shove your hands and body through it. His office, with that big open cutout thing, is a rehearsal space, and there was this horned band practicing, and he was like, oh, Bruno Mars is opening a club here, and this is going to be the house band.
The jazz.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so my band kind of like tried to peek in and like watch, and the guy was immediately like, this is a closed session, and kind of like scooted them out. And of course I'm like, well, they've played for Keith Urban and everyone, like they're great, like they can watch, like we're not gonna do anything. But anyways, long story short, one of the guys in the jazz band like sneaks in the office and is like, Mr. Mars is on his way. And I'm like, you don't understand, like, other than country music, which I live and work in, like Bruno Mars is probably the artist my husband and I have listened to the most as a couple.
Such a talent.
Mitchell, Tenpenny, and Megan. The four of us, I have probably 30,000 videos on my phone of the four of us dancing to Smoking Out the Window. We literally learned the choreography. Like, we do it. We're obsessed. And so I was like, okay, I need to break my foot. I need to pass out. I need to have a seizure. I need to figure out what I can do to be here when Mr. Mars shows up. So I like loitered a little bit. I like tried to like find a reason to stay longer than I was accepted probably there. And I gave it like 15 to 20 minutes of like reasons to stay, and he didn't show up yet. So we had to leave. So that was my
almost the greatest day.
Yes. But I mean, still to know that he showed up when I left, Bruno Mars and I were in the same building today, and that still feels
you could say that zip
great.
Code. You guys were in the same zip code. That's kind
of like,
neat.
I mean, even smaller than zip code, we were in the same room today. We breathed the same air.
Right. You left him something.
Yeah. He knows.
He knows.
Anyways, so yeah, I was like, what's my opening line going to be if I see him?
Hi.
I was like, hi, I'm the new queen of country. Let's duet or something stupid. Like, I don't
you
know.
Think you would have been able to even get to him?
I would have. I'm weird like that. Like,
you were
first...
Hold on. You were able to get a reservation at a restaurant here in Town Square that doesn't even take reservations. So I wouldn't put anything past you. That's pretty badass. That's a first.
Thank you. When I was really young in Nashville, Nashville is a town that you can end up seeing everybody like pretty quickly in some capacity. Like someone, you might move to town and someone's like, hey, I'm going to a writer's round. Come, this big writer's playing. And then someone else who happens to be there watching that big writer is like a big executive.
Right.
And for some reason, when I was young, something inside of me was like, hey, if you died tomorrow, you know, what regrets would you have? I don't know who said that to me or why it all of a sudden like, was so ingrained in my blood. But I always had no fear. I would like walk up to, I mean, I was like 17. What was I doing? Like looking back, maybe I'm more afraid now, but I would just go up to anyone and be like, hi, I'm Renee. Like, you're going to know me or you should. And I just always tried to go up to people and not be afraid of them because they're just people too.
Right.
And I mean, yeah. So if I saw Bruno Mars today, I would have definitely.
That's like your fanboy moment. That's what you would have done. You think you would have like totally went that extreme?
Yeah, my line I kind of use, because I did this to Kid Rock and Dolly Parton when I met them. I go, you know you're Dolly Parton, right? And like Kid Rock, I was like, no, look around, like you're Kid Rock. So like if I was like, oh my God, do you know you're Bruno Mars? Because that's like the coolest thing in the entire world. So I like to ask people if they know that they are who they are. It just throws them off and they're like, what do I even say to that? And then they laugh.
I had
great.
This kid flip me off once like this, backwards. I did the same thing. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck is that?
That feels more evil.
Yeah. It's almost like makes you think, God, is he being a dick or is he being
who
funny?
Was it?
Will Cullen.
Okay, I don't know Will.
He's the kid all over TikTok that takes his guitar and just walks up to chicks and starts, hey, you want to hear a song? And just starts playing for him.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And he did that?
He did that. Oh. Just as kind of a funny thing. Like, we were just like making fun going back and forth. And he was like, dude, next time, like, this is what you should do when you flip somebody off. Because my moniker is this. Literally, this is what I'm known for, is flipping people off. And his literally was like, dude, next time you do it, just turn it around and see what they do.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. Like, I did the same thing the first time. I was like, whoa, get back, man.
Yeah, I don't know why that feels so vicious.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, it's almost like you're flipping yourself off, but not
yeah, it's weird.
Really.
Okay.
Let's talk writing. I want to dive into that because you got a couple singles under your belt. Most people probably wouldn't know your history of that. I know that you're a part of Wait in the Truck.
Yes.
Let's talk how that song even came together.
All right.
Who brought it to the room?
So the real story is we...
No, give me the fake
one.
Come on.
My husband and I built a studio at our house that he predominantly worked out of. We just moved a couple months ago, but we're in the process of building a new one. Anyways, that studio, a lot of hits came out of it. Watermelon Moonshine, Country Ass Shit by Morgan, like a bunch of them. But anyways, Wait in the Truck was written there. And the Hunter, Hardy, and my husband were starting to write it. And Hardy had been trying to write a duet to do with actually a different female artist. And they texted me and like, we really want a girl to come in on this. Like, and they sent me like the ideas they were having for the chorus, asked me if I could come back. So I came back and like past Hardy in like the hallway or kitchen of our house, and he was like explaining it to me a little bit, and I was like had a little voice memo on my phone of him like just singing into his phone the chorus or the idea for the chorus. And so I got home, got in the booth, started singing what's the chorus, and then the guys, I guess, while we're out there, like they finished the lyrics and everything, and then so then I was laying down harmonies and background parts, and all the guys were gone except for Jordan, my husband. And I heard this pattern in my head, because I grew up loving like Whitney Houston, Celine Dion, Aretha Franklin, like big voices.
Yeah.
And I heard this like gospel big sound, and I was like, can I try something and stack a bunch of them? Like, I was like, can I just have a vocal moment? Can I just try it? And so I wrote all the Have Mercies. The Have Mercies are my true credit to the song.
Beautiful.
And I could see my husband kind of being like, don't mess up our song. Like, what are you doing? And so, long story short, Lainey ended up doing the song after like not hearing almost anything about it for almost a year. And I actually texted Hardy and I was like, hey, if no one's ever going to do anything with that song, can I do it with you? And he was like, literally 2 days ago, we got Lainey on it. And I was like, that's amazing, but also like, oh,
damn it.
But I didn't have writer credit at the time. I just wanted to do it for me as an artist because I thought that would be a great moment. Hardy was really starting to blow up.
Right.
And then my husband was out on the road with Hardy. It was the weekend they wrote Mockingbird and the Crow, the actual title track for his latest
album.
Love
that song.
So they were in the middle of writing that, and Hardy's like, oh my God, I just got the master back for Wait in the Truck. Can I play it for you? And they were like sobbing and like because they got the gospel choir, and Hardy was like, oh my God, it's so good. And he was like, man, you really killed those Have Mercies. Like, thank you for adding that. And Jordan was like, that was all Renee. And Hardy had no idea. And he was like, wait, what? And immediately, like, texted me and was like, do you want to be a writer on the song? And I was like, yeah.
Why would you ever say no?
Right, exactly. And you know, in my mind, like, I kind of always knew or hoped, like, maybe I'd get, like, credit or acknowledgement for it. But I've been in Nashville long enough to know that, like, I'd never want to be the person like asking for anything. Like,
sure.
You know, it's a tough town, and the fact that they just, you know, asked me if I want to be a part of it without me asking, I think was so much more powerful and
meant
a lot more.
I think that's respect.
Yeah.
Huge respect.
Because also, I will say, if you know anything about songwriters in town, no one is in the game of handouts.
No. I mean, that's not why you're there.
Right.
As a writer, that's what you're trying to do, is make a living.
Mm-hmm. So.
That's fucking badass. Yeah. What is your favorite song that you've been a part of writing?
Gosh, I love my project that I'm doing right now. I mean, I would say personally, Holy Cowboy just is so fun to me. I love an up-tempo, fun, peppy, crazy, wild show. I loved some Katy Perry anthems growing up, like Teenage Dream, and then just the fun up-tempos. When I go to a show, like, I just want to, you know, party. And in country, there's not as many. Like, that's my kind of night, Luke Bryan. She's country, Jason Aldean. Like, those make me want to, like, rock out. And Shania had a bunch of those. But there's kind of, like, been a lull a little bit with females. I don't know if they don't feel empowered to do those kind of anthems. Or, I mean, women are more emotional, so we have more emotional songs. But I've been in Nashville for so long. Anyways, honing in on this lane that I'm doing for my Hill Betty project, which is kind of an alter ego. Nashville's overrun, and Vegas, by bachelorette parties. And that's when girls get wild.
Sure.
And it's a special place. Girls don't maybe get wild every single night. Some do. I like to. But
why'd you look at her?
Because we can have a lot of fun together, me and my girl Maddie here. Some girls let their Hill Betty out every night. Some girls do once a year, only on girls' trips. So this whole album and playlist is really catered towards a girls' night out. It's a very specific thing. Like, I've had love songs. I still write love songs all the time. But right now, just for this moment in my career, you know, artists should always be changing and evolving and being authentic to who they are. And I just, it's very me. And I also feel like it's very wide open right now.
I don't think that if you keep going and you're not learning, you're not progressing.
Yeah.
I think that's
absolutely
that's a big part of it all.
Yeah.
I think some people don't get that. Some people do.
Yeah.
Talk about what did you move to Nashville for? To be a writer?
I moved just to be an artist. Carrie Underwood had kind of like just won American Idol. Gretchen Wilson was really popping on the scene. Redneck Woman had come out a couple years before. But I wanted to be an artist. And I didn't even know anything about writing songs. I just thought, like, you're a pretty girl. People will give them to you. Like, right? Don't they just fall off trees?
Right, and then here you go.
Yeah, or grow on trees, fall into my lap.
Where did you grow up?
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Yeah.
Did you grow up knowing that singing is something and writing is something that you wanted to do? That's just someone in your family like that, or?
I mean, my dad and my mom, like, I feel like the typical answer is always, like, they always had music on. They loved music. They did. But I just had a special, like, obsession with it. I don't truly know where it came from. But I was a groupie. And when I say groupie, I loved groups. Like, I was obsessed with NSYNC, the Dixie Chicks at the time, and Shadaisy, like, you name it. Rascal Flatts, Brooks and Dunn, even though they're a duo. But, like, I just loved groups. NSYNC was, like, my life.
Pretty funny. There's I think it's the Backstreet Boys. One of the guys in the band has a kid that's trying to do country.
Brian Littrell.
Yep. And his dad is his son is Bailey. Brian is the dad.
Yes.
So I actually did a Zoom with him over COVID.
Okay.
With the kid.
Yeah.
Bailey. And the dad popped in, like, over the side of the thing, and I was like, hey bro, like, listen, man, your time's up, man. Let's give this to the kid. And he was just like, it was hilarious. Just
that's
the way the
awesome.
Whole thing came out was, like, super funny. I think that there's a lot of creativity when you get into the whole big band thing like that.
Yeah.
You got to think you've got personalities in your band, but there's only one person up front that's doing it.
Yeah.
You look at a band like NSYNC and you've got five personalities. And those guys are all different.
Yes. And you know, it's so funny, like, even being a Spice Girls fan, there was something for everybody.
Right.
And I think in music right now too, like, that's why there are so many different artists, because everyone is going to gravitate towards something different. So I do find myself frustrated sometimes in Nashville and people try to put you as an artist in a box. Like, we are products, essentially. I get it. For commercial purposes, you have to check certain boxes of what this is.
Yeah.
And is it moody? Is it female? Is it blonde? Is it, you know,
I would assume
whatever.
Your goal is to never be the same, though. You don't want to sit in that box. You want to be outside of it and just keep... There's a lot of artists that are like that. When you listen to some songs, I listen to your catalog of stuff, and it is not all the same.
No.
You're all over the place, and I think that's what's great about it. That's what I find good about it. I don't want to listen to an album that every song sounds exactly the same.
Yeah.
You can't do that. I don't think there's a win in there. You look at Morgan putting out, 3,426 songs in one album?
Plus one.
Plus one. Yeah, the B-side. But you look at stuff like that, and not all his shit sounds the same, which is kind of cool. I listen to a lot of different music, not just country. I listen to everything. And I think that's where I get the joy out of it, because everything's different.
Yeah. Didn't you say, like, you listened to, like, 6,000 artists last year or something
crazy? I did.
62 or 6,600?
6,600.
Jeez.
Yeah, see, I almost messed up that number. That's literally, if you come to my house, there's music on all the time. And if I hear something, I literally go over and it's a save. It's a go back to listen to it again.
Yeah.
And then I find myself going through these phases of where I literally go back and listen to all the stuff that I liked the month prior.
Yep.
And I'll listen to it all over again. I told you that Monday nights, I hop on Whiskey Jam. It's my research in that sense of finding new artists. And I like Friday nights. We built something here. And the thing that's built here is that they're going to trust me. And I'm trying to think who said it. They said I was the A&R of Vegas for Stoneys. And I just thought it was the neatest thing in the world, because it's the truth. Because these kids that come in here, they might not know who you are. They might have never listened to you, but they're trusting me that I'm bringing something that's going to be worth them listening to. And I take a lot of pride in that. That's where I go back to the same thing is, I want to watch the show too. I have had tour managers come up, and the minute the artist steps on the stage, they're like, dude, can we settle? And I'm like, no, I want to see the fruits of my labor too. Like, I brought these people here. I brought this stuff up. They came into this with me. This is a teamwork thing. I want to see it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's all about for me. But
I
love the new music side of it all.
Yeah.
Love it all. I was in music in the early 2000s, helping bands. I used to four-wall the House of Blues here in town.
Okay.
And I would take the bands, make compilation CDs, LA, San Diego, Denver, here, and I would take the best band in each market, and I would push these artists. So the best band in Vegas would play with the best band in Denver, and we would just cycle around and play these places.
Before, like, a true, like, opening slot tour thing?
Absolutely, because I had artists here that were bringing on their own 800-900 kids out.
Yeah.
Well, if I could take a band from LA and San Diego and Denver and bring them here, and they could return the favor in Denver, LA and San Diego, it's why not do the
run?
Is
anyone doing that anymore?
Not that I know of.
Okay, well, maybe...
I mean, it's a win. It's a win.
Everything's cyclical. Let's try to figure it out.
I did 5 compilation CDs back in the day, in the early 2000s. That's what I love doing. I built, when websites just started coming out, I was streaming music. I built a radio station online, like 2002.
Did you create LimeWire?
No. I did tear up. Remember Real Player? Do you remember that player that used to, when they first started streaming music?
I probably had it. I had like everything.
Well, I broke into their code and was able to actually put song titles. And I built a store online. And it was called getindie.com, where you could actually, if you like the artist, you could buy the CD and we would fulfill it. Like when CD Baby was the only thing around.
Oh my gosh.
I was around then too.
That's amazing.
So I've always been forthright in
so
doing all that.
You've loved getting the music to the people.
I love it.
That is.
I love getting new music. I love Miranda's new song that just dropped. He gave it to me a while back, and I just love. I mean, for me, it's a joy. I like hearing the work tape.
Yeah.
Before the final product, you'll see me. I would rather listen to the show on stage, versus out front. I like the production side of it all, but I really enjoy the sound of the stage much better.
Okay.
It's just
that's awesome.
It's super fun.
Were you ever in a band?
High
school,
nothing? Nope, absolutely not. I do have a drum set and a bass and a guitar at home that I do fuck around with, but that's about the best you're going to get out of me.
All right.
Never in a, that's just too much work.
Okay.
We just did a 17-year reunion of a show. The last show I did at the House of Blues was with this band. They got signed to RCA and shelved, which sucks, but they played 17 years later for me at a little venue here, and I got to do it. Not for me, I'm sorry. They played, and for me, they let me go back up and do exactly what I did back then, was announce them, put on my old shirt that I used to wear and everything, and it was the first time I'd done anything outside of country in 17 years. It was nuts.
Oh my gosh, that's
super
awesome.
Fun. I got out of music for about 4 or 5 years because I told myself there's three things I wanted in music. Be printed in Billboard, got it. Printed in Rolling Stone, got it. And help a band get a deal, got it. I helped three bands get a deal, and one of them, I'm sure you know of, it's a little band. They're from Vegas. What's the biggest band from Vegas? Oh, no, bigger than them. Who's bigger in Panic at the Disco? Yeah.
I don't know.
Just before them, man. They just signed, they're doing a residency at Caesars now. The Killers.
No way.
Yeah. I have a plaque at home, a thank you, everything.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
I love new music. Like
that's amazing.
Yeah, I have their original music at home. Like of Jenny. That was like one of their biggest hits. And I have like the original of that, which is fucking great.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That's the stuff I like to do.
Oh, so what are those were your three big ones. Do you have any three more for what's next?
Oh, no, I don't do that stuff anymore, man. I like to open doors for bands now. Like if there's Colleen needed, I don't know necessarily if she needed a drummer. She wanted some new band people, and I introduced her to some friends of mine. And like we talked about Royal Lynn before, Punk Tree.
Yes.
I opened some doors for her to talk to some people, and it eventually worked out. Not the same way, but she's signed with UTA, and I introduced her to Caleb.
Great.
Back in the day, which is cool. I just like doing stuff like that. If I get, obviously, people asking me for stuff. And I work with a lot of country artists. Like, they all come through here. All your friends come through here. So it's super fun. That side is super, super fun.
Yeah.
Because I love the joy. And like I told you at dinner, the whole reason why we put all those posters up on the wall is so you feel at home.
Yep.
That's the whole reason behind
it. I know. When you told me that, I was like, that actually, mission accomplished, because that's exactly how I felt when I walked around back there. I was like, oh, friend, 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 friend.
I would say the majority of people walk by with their phones and they'll take pictures and send them. Oh, you were such a little baby. Like, that party one's the greatest one in the world.
The party one kills me.
Yeah.
He looked so young and so different. Like, I could tell they were trying to, like, make him look like Mr. Suave. And he's just, like, a fun, like, laid back, chill guy. But, you know, I get it.
Let's talk about your biggest accomplishment in country music so far. What would you say that is?
Gosh, the first thing that truly just came to my gut was the fact that I'm still in it.
That's literally like having no quit is a big deal, man.
Yeah.
It really is.
That even just gave me chills and made me really
hit
me hard. You know, I got really emotional this week. I don't know why. I don't know if it's like the full moon is tonight or what, or maybe that I realized this year will officially be Mark, when the anniversary of me moving to Nashville hits, every day past that, I will have lived in Nashville longer than I've ever lived anywhere else in my life. So,
and what day is that? Like, when does that come?
End of August. I went for college originally, but I went to college early. I was very young.
So 16 years?
I started going to Nashville when I was 15, and like a year and a half later, I moved there.
So you've been in Nashville 16 years, what would you say?
Yeah.
That's as long as I've been at Stoney's.
Really?
Yeah.
So 16 years. And, you know, would I like to be selling out stadiums? Obviously. Did I think it'd be taking me 16 years to even get here tonight? No. And my journey has been mostly one of struggle and perseverance. I've had near-death experiences, my mouth wired shut, I still have glass in my face, like all sorts of crazy shit that we don't even necessarily need to get into. It is part of my story. But, you know, I met the man of my dreams. I have a baby now. We just had a baby. And I am actively, I've had multiple record deals, multiple publishing deals now. I'm on my second publishing deal. But I get paid to write.
You're making a living.
Music. And yeah. And you know what? I am on tour. Some of the tours, we lose money. And that's okay because I'm investing in myself. And we can't take anything with us when we go. And, you know, again, am I where I want to be at the end of my career? Absolutely not. I have a lot more that I want to achieve and do. But I am doing it. You know, like I'm touring, I'm writing. And again, I'm not the biggest. I'm not as big as I definitely thought I would be at this age, which can get discouraging. And we all are mean to ourselves sometimes. Like we just have an inner voice that can be an asshole. And, you know, anyways, I was a little nostalgic this week, really realizing that I wouldn't trade anything. I want more, but I
sure
don't want to lose anything either. So I'm very happy. I love my life.
Who's an artist that you'd love to go on the road with and learn from?
Oh, I mean, Hardy. I've done a couple, like I got to sing Wait in the Truck with him a few times at different events and on his Mockingbird and the Crow tour. He let me come to the St. Louis show, which was awesome.
That's
where
hometown.
I'm from. Yeah. Yep. And I was pregnant, so that was amazing. It was really cool. But, you know, I think Keith Urban is such a vet, like, in the industry. Like, he's been doing this for 30 years and still gets up there and kicks ass. Like, I'm sure he could teach me so much.
Right.
But, you know, I think I try to take away. I write stuff down a lot when I'm at shows. Like, John Mayer, actually, as a performer, taught me so much. I have so many John Mayer quotes. He's the only person I've traveled to another city to see in, like, the last 10, 15 years.
Oh, wow.
I'm obsessed with John Mayer. So I just like watching how people connect with a crowd. And I will write down, like, oh, they thanked them this way, and that touched me. So I want to thank people that way and touch them. So I try to pick up a little something from everybody.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Is there a favorite place you've played already?
Well, hopefully tonight will be the new one.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I really want to be more heavily booked in the Peachtree Entertainment. I'm not sure how familiar you are with
that
or not.
Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that guy's name down there that does all the booking?
There's one big guy I don't know. I don't think I've met him yet, but one of the guys way under him. The first, like, kind of smaller club is in Tifton, Georgia. It used to be called The Gin. Now it's called Terminal South. And I just played there, like, 2 weeks ago and packed it out, which was
beautiful.
A huge milestone for me. Because much like this, when I made a list of all the venues I want to hit, these two were on my list. Because I know that when people are on a trajectory, they always come through here.
Right.
So we just did that a couple weeks ago. And that made me feel good.
I've heard the story of, like, the Ed Warm.
Yes, Ed's a big one.
Ward.
Yep.
Down there. And then there is that guy, I always forget his name, down in the Peachtree.
Okay.
In that area. And I like to help people on the West Coast as much as I can.
Yeah.
So, like, I work with Michael Harris over at Moonshine as often as we can, just to, because I know a trip for you is better if you can play it two or three places.
100%.
I mean, that's what it's all about, the routing. And there's the West Coast routing. I'd give it a 2 because it sucks, because it's really difficult.
Yeah, but you guys have real fans.
We do.
They do, and they love it. So, you know, I have not done as much West Coast. The only time I really actually did West Coast was I got to open for Willie Nelson.
Where at?
We did the Paso Robles and then somewhere else on the coast. We did a couple vineyards.
Let's have fun. How high'd you get?
It was the high of my life. They left us some goodies in our
I can only
room.
Imagine. I think him and Snoop Dogg probably have that weed that just
oh.
Yeah, someone else makes it.
It hits right.
Yeah, it hits left too, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely
every
sure
every direction. I'm like, give me another one.
I like to ask this question. I've been asking it a lot lately, so I'm giving you a little bit of a warm-up to it. No pressure. Let's take the Mount Rushmore of your influences in music. Who would you put on there?
I love that question. That's amazing.
You're just buying time.
No. I used to actually, during COVID, I missed touring so bad. I ended up hosting a radio show, and I would have a few go-to questions. And I'm like, actually, I was pausing more because I'm like, why the hell didn't I think of that? That is a great question. And also terrifying, because I'll leave here and later and be like, oh my God, I should have said so-and-so.
I want to have some fun with you before you do it.
Okay.
I was at the bar here, and I was talking to someone from Todd Thomas from Curb Records, couple other people were there, and this question went around, and they asked me, and I gave them all. And then the last one I gave them to them was a brand new artist. Not maybe not brand new, but Jake Worthington.
Yeah.
And they went, you would put him on your Mount Rushmore? And I went, absolutely. And they're like, why? And I'm like, because let's talk about why. Yeah. You can listen to this dude's music, and it's never, to me, it's never going to get old.
Yeah.
Ever. I don't think his music will ever get old. Yeah. He's one of those guys that just writes. He's such a neat person. I don't know if you've ever talked to him or hung out with him, but he
in
is
passing slightly, but
he is the neatest. Yeah. Like if I owned Urban Dictionary and I could actually say what country AF was, it would be a picture of him.
Oh, I love that.
He is that's who that is.
That's
but
awesome.
I took some old bangers and then I took that guy right there.
Okay.
Because
so let me be a little ignorant American for a second here. There's four.
Yes.
Damn it. I was like hoping you might say five, even though
you
I
can do five.
Four.
Throw one on there. Okay. That's fine. They're twins. Fuck it.
I have a wide variety of
it's your Mount
I
Rushmore. Make it what you want.
I will say John Mayer.
Beautiful.
I will say Bruno Mars. I do love Rihanna, but I don't know if she'd be on there just because I want to throw some more country because that's so me. And I'm from St. Louis, so like I also obsess with Nelly. But gosh. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say Dolly.
Beautiful.
It was in my mind. I was like Dolly or Shania, but I'd give it to Dolly because a very specific reason. Not only is she a fantastic writer, artist, performer, she has built an empire with Dollywood and things like that. And I really do love when an artist can capitalize on their brand. And that's she's a huge inspiration to me for my Hillbilly thing I'm doing.
And she doesn't seem arrogant about it at all.
No, and she like makes jokes, like dirty jokes.
Yeah.
And they just, people let her get away with it. Like, I listen to some of the shit she says, and I'm like, no one else would do this. You guys would kill them. And she just says it, and she's ballsy, and I fucking love how just blunt she is. She is the queen for a reason.
She's wonderful. A meme this afternoon that had her, and they said that she went to a Dolly lookalike contest and lost.
No.
Yeah. She lost to a guy that dressed up as a girl.
No. No. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
But still, to go do that is that's a ballsy move, man.
Yeah.
I mean, for Dolly.
Yeah. No. Can I, and then for my last one. So I'm going to do four. I did Bruno, John, Dolly. I would do a songwriter.
Beautiful. I mean, these are people that you look up to. Like the people
I'm going to put Shane McAnally.
Oh, wow. Have you written with him?
Shane signed me.
Oh, get out of here.
Shane was my first signing, and that's not why he's on there. But
I'm sure you learned a lot.
I learned so much. But truly, that man has a gift. Like, watching him in the room. And then I just saw Shucked, the Broadway musical he created, and I literally was texting him in the show. I was like, that pre-chorus line of that one song, that was your melody. I know it. Like, I can tell and pick up songs I've never heard before. I'll hear them, and I'll be like, give me the credits. Shane's on that. I know it. And he just has a thing that he does, and it moves me. Like, some people have a thing, and I can tell, but I don't, like, always get as moved by it. Shane is so special. And he has contributed over like 40 number ones to country music.
Couple.
Yeah. And he produced my first big project. And
you still work with him now?
Not as much. He actually moved to California. And he's been doing Shucked. Like, they kind of, him and his family, I'm so proud of them. They took off during COVID and basically traveled the world for the last few years. And then ended up settling down in Santa Barbara.
That's not a bad place to settle down. Jesus, yeah. It's so beautiful there.
So, but we still are close and communicate, and he's a big cheerleader of mine. And I'm like going to get emotional. Shane is just incredible. And, you know, usually when deals fall apart or expire, that's the end of your chapter. And the fact that, like, I could still text or call them right now and they would support me and help me if I needed it.
Right. Those are true friends.
Yes. Yep. It's funny, my husband and I were talking about that yesterday. There was some people we work with that had worked together like every day, toured the world, and they kind of just had a falling out. And I was like, that's the one thing I think I'm really proud of is that I work so hard on making sure that, you know, one of my favorite quotes is leave people better than you found them. And I really hope that I can make a good impression on people and never have bad blood, God willing.
Well, I think you made me smile today when I got here and you said, what did you say from the stage? Something about, is Toad here yet or something like that? And then I was sitting up there with Wyatt. I always do that. I always go right up to the front and I just up in the soundboard. And I just want to listen.
Uh-huh.
especially since I'd never met you.
Yeah.
That's like the neatest thing. I really want to see what your vibe is and really like get to know you from afar, because you can get to know a lot about an artist during soundcheck.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think so. That's when
you
I get to know.
You definitely can.
You definitely can. Yeah. Because if they're taking it serious, or if this is their job, or if it's something they enjoy doing, because I've seen everything here. Everything. But, and then you said something about, once I raised my hand and said hi, you said that you got some messages today about people saying you need to find Toad. That is why I do this, because my idea from day one, we came back and started doing live music probably, so we've been open 16 years. I would say about 10 years ago, we really started doing music on a regular basis. We do a couple shows, Gretchen Wilson, Charlie Daniels Band, like twice a year, that sort of thing, but nothing crazy. But now it's every single Friday, sometimes Saturday, sometimes Thursday. Like, we like to mix it up here. And I like that you guys can leave and your friends are telling you that, hey, you're going to love it here, and this is why, and these are the reasons why, and this is what you'll do. The sound is good, the hospitality, Toad, your green room, you know, Wyatt, Nick. Like, I used to really have a hard time with Wyatt. And before Wyatt, we had a guy here named Matt that taught Wyatt and everything. But Matt is out on the road with the Killers. He does all of their sound stuff for them.
Wow.
Yeah, records their stuff.
I know.
Doesn't
I kind of want to steal Nick if I really blow up. Sorry. He was great today.
You should. Well, he was taught by Wyatt.
Okay.
So Wyatt runs front of house now.
Yep.
But the neat part about that is an artist would get off and be like, dude, those are the best years I've ever had. And I take pride in that, because this is the team that I built. And that's what I love about it, is to bring these people around for you guys. So when you leave here, what are you going to say? You're not going to say, dude, Toad's a dick, or that place fucking sucked, or the floor almost caved in, or dinner was he was an asshole. You're going to say, oh my God, the ears are fucking great. The fucking sound was great. The lights are great. The crowd was like, you're going to. And that's what my favorite thing about this whole thing is I can't pay you to say that.
True. I mean, you could, but
no.
It makes our job, our time, our everything
easy.
So much more enjoyable. Like, there's nothing I hate more than leaving a show and be like, could you guys hear yourself? Like, it's that sucks. And
I want you to get off and crave your next visit.
Yes. I already am, and we haven't even played. Like, you've made us feel very special and very welcomed.
That's what
I
love to
hear. Yeah.
There's a few artists that I would say probably just before COVID, when everyone was really touring a lot, that they would get their list and they would get in their Sprinter van with their trailer and they would figure out where they were going and they would mark off Stoney's. Just like Dylan Snyder just 2 weeks ago did the same thing. The minute he found out he was coming to Stoney's, he was like, that's my home. That's my home.
Oh, yes.
And there's a lot of artists that do that. The minute they see that on their list, they put that on it. We just need to make it to here. We just need to make it to here, and everything's going to be good. It's still a job. There's going to be bad days. There's going to be good days.
Totally.
And I know there's venues where the sound guys, they don't show up when they say they're going to. There's literally holes in the floor. The back line's junk.
Yeah.
Like, all kinds of shit.
The beauty of the touring life.
Dude, I got to tell you a funny story about the mics on our drum set.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you looked at them at all. I hope they're back. We have a jazz club here in town as well.
Uh-huh.
And so before it opened, a lot of the stuff got sent here. And so one night, I'm walking through the club when the band was playing, and I walked right up to Wyatt. I go, dude, talk to me about these drums. What the hell is... Why do they sound so fucking awesome? And he goes, we're using the mics from the jazz club. So guess what I did the next day? Bought those same mics, because I knew those mics were leaving. They're Earthworks.
Ooh.
And it just changes the whole room.
Yeah.
Everything. Like that, I said something to your drummer today. I was like, what
did you did. Yeah. You made his A, but my husband got into production because he was the guy putting mics on the drums in a studio. He worked with this guy for like Motion City Soundtrack, a bunch of big like
I remember the band. Yeah.
Punk rock bands
Emo
back
shit.
In the day. Yeah. They did like Boys Like Girls, all that. So
I was listening to Taking Back Sunday this afternoon. When
you were? Yeah, yes. Absolutely. He would lose it. So anyways, if he heard you talk about the drum mics right now, my husband would be like, he'd get a little music boner.
Yeah, tell him that the drum mics here at Earthworks, and he'll.
I will. He like
changes everything.
There's like few things I think he respects more.
Yeah.
So
I'm all about the sound. I want you guys to.
Yeah.
So that sound system we have up there.
It's amazing.
It's oh my God. I'm going to have to come back to that. But they came out here and asked us if they could hang their stuff here and show it to a client. And we liked it so much that we bought it.
Yeah.
Literally.
Well,
I can't believe I'm drawing a blank.
I hope the client picked it up, because...
Yeah. We love it. It just sounds fucking amazing. It sounds amazing. I love it. Well, let's get into the rest of the year. You've got new music coming out?
Yep. I've got a lot of music coming out.
You're an independent artist?
Yes. I say that loosely. because I've been on major deals and still have some of the team attached from those. But
the reason why I say that,
I am.
When you get to release a song, do you get to release a song, or do you have to go through some sort of a management who says what can be released, sort of thing?
So I just recently got off of the last label I was on, and I have a distributor now, but they facilitate. What's the proper term? They like to be super organized. They want a 6-week lead time. That's kind of what Nashville wants. And some true independents can drop it within 3 days if they want and do like surprise releases. And, you know, there's certain people that say the school of thought is to make sure everything's planned out perfectly and calculated. But I have also noticed that when you don't plan stuff, it goes better than the stuff you did plan.
Sure.
So I have more freedom than a lot of artists, which I do love. But I also know that I sometimes am an idiot and miss things. And if they say, hey, you could put this song out, but like 8 other girls or whatever are releasing on that day, they at least know some of that information.
Good. I guess that part's really, really
good
for you.
So, you know, I'm new to this team kind of, but so far I really love them. I really do. And, you know, again, I just have big dreams and goals. And the only thing that matters to me is if the people seem to connect with it. Like, so I don't really care who puts it out. I just want to make sure that it's good.
So what do you think of a major label deal versus what like an Alexander Kay is doing?
Well, what did I think of it until a couple weeks ago when Universal stopped putting their music on TikTok or pulled all of it? Like there's a lot. I think I get really frustrated sometimes because, again, I've been in Nashville for 16 years and there are rules. But sure. Then the people that break the rules get all the attention or push that the people that play the rules should be getting. So it's like the rule breakers win and the people that follow the rules, but then you need to follow. It's like this never-ending cycle of chaos and confusion. And sometimes I feel like as soon as I start to get it, everything has changed, and then when I adapt to that, everything's changing again.
Yeah, fluid.
So I the last few years, especially with COVID, like that changed everyone's world. That put us all, the whole world, upside down, but especially music, especially people that make their bread and butter off touring.
Right.
That was me. I was just starting to really tour like almost every freaking weekend and I was obsessed with it. And so anyways, it felt like I was, you know, one step forward, 12 steps backwards. I'm still catching up. But, anyways, all that to say, I have just been really diligent about trying to put my head down and just stay so focused on what I am doing, what I am building, not look at anyone else and just try to be the best me.
So is your goal to get a major label deal?
I mean, I also have
just
friends
get your music
that
out there.
Don't have one and are making
killing
more
it.
Than my friends on majors.
Yeah.
So I don't know and I don't care. Is my ultimate dream, or if I could here's our little magic ball here. If I could say, hey, I want 10 number ones in the next 5 years at radio as an artist. Well, you need a major pretty much to do that, unless I just stumble into $1 billion and can hire their radio team to go push me, then maybe I'll do that. So
I asked that for a reason.
Yeah.
And you, like, it's a perfect segue. You got a guy like Drew Baldridge.
Yeah.
He just kind of, because his last single, Someone's Daughter, it blew up.
Yeah.
He hired a radio team.
Right.
And he's doing it himself.
Yeah.
As an indie. And he's charting.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Right.
He was here last weekend, and I just sit back and I think, I mean, Drew's played here quite a few times already, but I look at his approach to stuff, and it's like, you believe in yourself that much,
right,
which is what you should do.
100%.
There is no plan B.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot of kudos for that, because he's spending the money. And you sit back, and I think in the industry, that number is $1 million to get a number one.
It is, roughly, which is insane. So, because, I mean, how often are people calling in requesting it, and it really moves the needle?
Do people even listen to radio anymore?
I don't know. Then it's like, so I think what I want is always also evolving.
Right.
You know, just want the mass amount of people that hear my songs to like them and want to continue to hear more.
I think you have people like Spencer Crandall. I will go back to Alexandra Kay only because you look at how they sell tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Spencer said to me he bought a house doing what he loved off of streaming. And
right.
You just sit back and you're like, that's everybody's dream,
yeah,
to do what you love to do and make money.
Exactly.
Which is cool. Alexandra Kay just dropped. I was talking to her manager, Beth, earlier in the week, and she's playing. They reached out for a show here April 26th. And I said, I already have a show booked, and it's Kylie Morgan. And I said, I already have a show. And they're like, is it already on sale? Like, they were trying to buy it the night or whatever because they're playing Country Thunder in Arizona. And it's okay. A perfect route for it. I was like, congratulations. And she goes, wait till tomorrow. And I'm like, what? Next day, they announced that she's going out with Jelly Roll. Yeah. And you're like, holy shit balls. She's independent.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell's going on there? And I think that that should be a wake-up call to the industry that just states that people like that are still going to make it. They're still going to have the drive. I mean, she's crushing it. And
crushing.
I mean, 2.6 million people on Facebook. Like she did. I don't do this live. Like this will get next week. It'll come out sort of thing. She did a Facebook live, like her tour manager filmed the whole thing. Then she did an early meet and greet where she let 150 people in before her show to meet and do this thing. And every single fucking one of them watched it. I was like, what in the hell? I was like, but that's the power of social media.
Yeah.
So that's where I go back to. We had that talk about dinner about the artist that had a single that went out and everyone's singing this song, but they released a different song.
Right.
That's where the frustration has to come from, because as an artist standpoint, you're the one out there living it. You're standing up on the stage. If these people are singing your songs back, you know what the hell they want to listen to.
Right.
So why wouldn't you give it to the masses? Because they're already showing you.
Totally. I agree.
It's fucking nuts, man. Well, I'm looking forward to new music from you. I got one more thing that if you could put together this band, I'm going to have some fun with it. Just you and your husband and Mitchell and his wonderful wife, Megan. Do you think you'd put a, like a boy band together with the four of you? You think you guys would make it?
The four of us would be an amazing band. Oh, my God. We spend usually New Year's Eves together and we go on trips. They're our best friends. They lived on our street during COVID. It was dangerous. I think we could be a fun band.
I think that that should be. I know that you've got like Dirks that comes
out. Are we the next Little Big Town?
Huh?
I said, are we the next Little Big Town?
Why? I mean, why not? Seriously, why not? You watch what Dirks did, where he has that alter ego. I forget the name of that band where he comes out and he's a different. You know what I'm talking about?
Hot Nights.
Hot City Nights or whatever. Yep. It's, yeah. Why wouldn't you guys do that? I think that would be fucking badass.
I mean, maybe,
man.
But I don't know. Like, joking me, just if Mitchell was sitting right here, I'd be like, yeah, Mitchell, you'd never let us sing.
Oh,
like,
wow. Shots fired.
Yeah, it'd be a joke.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we just all respect what each other does individually so much. But we definitely, I mean, Bruno Mars, the four of us are singing Smoking Out the Window together at the top of our lungs, and we have the time of our life doing that.
Do you put that out on social? Or is that something you guys keep?
I think we maybe did a couple, probably on our stories we did.
Right.
I don't know if we posted because we were also having a lot to drink. So.
Of water.
Totally.
Eliminate. Yeah. Tell people how to find you online.
Facebook, Renee Blair, Instagram, TikTok, and then streaming obviously is big. Just RENEEBLAIR. My thing, I will say, versus like a lot of other artists, and you just mentioned Alexandra Kay. I am so in the writing room all the time. I'm obsessed with being a songwriter that I forget about social media sometimes. And I know it's the necessary evil for this day and age we live in. But I am just like, when I'm in writing mode, I forget there's a world out there. And I've just been writing my ass off lately. So I will, if you're listening, I will show up to the socials and I'll show up for you. But I've been a little quiet and shy, working in silent lately.
You better get back on that horse.
Yeah.
I got a TikTok way pre-COVID because my kid was like, you need this. And I got the name Toad, T-O-A-D-T-O-K, Toad Talk. So I would say the majority of messages I get are people asking me for my name.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's Toad Talk. But my whole goal was literally to have this kind of thing follow me around with artists like you and have an understanding of what the music biz is about, because people don't know this side. They don't know the dinner. They don't know that your flight. You don't know you're tired. They don't know Bruno Mars, you know, at SIR. They don't know any of that. And it's what an opening. Like, it's a neat thing to show people that there's another side of the music business that, and it's coming soon. It will be coming soon, but in a different light.
Yeah.
So it's coming.
Thank you so much for the time. This was wonderful. Your Mount Rushmore question, I will never forget.
Don't. I love it.